just
wonderful job this
morning. Oh, thank you.
Always
touched
my heart when you sang you and the girls.
Thank you. Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. I love it how you
Well, thank you for allowing us to. I try to get my power. I know. I appreciate it. No, I mean, I was so thankful to get I thought it was very needed. I wanted to.
Well, thank you.
It wasn't.
All right. Father, we come in Jesus' name today, and we're thankful, Lord, that you're a God who cares. Brother Brian mentioned this morning, sometimes the enemy comes and says, God don't care. And even sometimes says, does God care? But I'm glad, Lord, that Peter says that we're to cast all of our cares upon him, for he careth for us. What a blessing. Lord, I pray that you bless this service like you did this morning, the morning service. Be with every person that has a part in the lineup tonight. May you be honored and glorified. And Father, we go ahead and bless the food while we're here and say thank you for the meal. Thank you for the hands that prepared the meal tonight. Thank you for everyone who set up the sound system, everyone who had part. Do not take that for granted. And Father, again, take the food, bless it to our bodies, to your service. We'll be careful. Thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray.
Amen.
Oh, Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. Yeah.
All right.
Hi, how's it going tonight?
Good. In the house of the Lord.
I want to start with saying that, and I can't stress this enough, but I'm not perfect. And with the fact that, with all my faults, with all my misdeeds, or with all the things that you would look down on, God still loves me.
Amen.
Yeah. And giving me his mercy, giving me the ability to grow, I have seen many great wonders. Once Kevin left, I thought that I would never be able to find somebody as spiritually to talk to, or I wouldn't have had one good friend. I was alone at school, and next thing you know, Alex stops me in the hallway and he talks to me. And in my head, I'm like, oh, no, what now? It surprised me. He was apologizing. He was apologizing for stuff that I didn't even think twice about. Stuff that I was like, I've already judged him on, and I have no right to judge him on anything. For if I judge him, then I would have to judge myself as well, and I'm not any better. So also, when I'm up here, Alex, I apologize too. For you're not the only one. As fault either. God, in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've learned throughout these couple weeks that doesn't just mean physically. It can strengthen your heart, strengthen your mind, strengthen your spirit, spiritually. And I'm glad that God has let me see Alex as a friend instead of an enemy. I've learned that God has a plan, and it's just up to us to follow.
Amen.
And to just confirm everything, confirm all of what I've seen, and it touched me this morning at Sunday service. Ann Darkleen talked about something, and it made me think about that time with Alex. 1 John 4:20. If a man may say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we found from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. I can't say that I love God if I'm not willing to forgive those tiny things. I can't say that I am a follower of Jesus Christ if I keep judging people for what they've done when God has done, when Jesus Christ has done nothing, died for me.
Amen.
And I'm glad to have learned that I don't have to have any enemies. I'm learning that I learned to forgive and a friend instead. If I was to think about any bad things in my life or anything that would happen, I wouldn't change for a thing. Because I know God had a plan for me. I know He has a plan for me still.
Majesty, grace forever. I don't know about you guys, but youth services get me. There's something about seeing young people living their life with the Lord. You don't see that often anymore, and I'm just very proud just over the past year, just seeing our youth group really just worshiping the Lord and speaking for the Lord, and I promise you, I'm very proud of you.
Amen.
And so, this song, CJ said, I'm preaching and I want you to learn this song. I was like, okay, that was not long ago. That was just like a minute ago. But I do want you to, I'm hoping I don't blubber through it, because when he gave it to me, I was like, you should have gave me more time. I got to cry for a few weeks before I can sing it. But I just pray that you'll listen to the words of this song. It says, you're not, our King is known by his mercy, his grace, his love, his salvation, all the things that our King is known by. But I just pray that, first of all, I can get through it without crying the whole entire time. But
right.
That you'll just listen to these words and let it speak to your heart.
Some are known by great authority.
David, who is a genuine bona fide piano player, and he knew what I did. There's a fancy button on there that when you go to change keys, you just go,
hey, don't be in the way, Tracy.
if you like praise and worship music, if you learn four chords, you are golden. Since like 1990 to present day, you're set. And whether it's on a guitar, you have a capo on there, you got a transpose button, thank God for it. But that being said, thank you all for letting us do that. I absolutely love that song. I had never heard it. Apparently, it's been out for a little while. But I'm unshockingly behind the times. But anyway, I want to, if you've got your Bible, join me in the book of Jonah. While you look there, I have to tell you, ADD is a tremendous blessing, curse, whatever you want to call it. I was sitting over there beside Brother Randy, and I thought, man, I need a cup of coffee. And so we all go get it while they preach. And I was like, wait, that ain't going to work. I are the preacher. I can't get coffee and preach at the same time. So anyway, that's my life. It's a blessing and a curse. I ran across this quote this week. It says, Satan's biggest fear is for you to become who God created you for. That's why he tries so hard to make you lose focus. Please don't let him win. And I said that to a friend of mine who said, you know, I think we really underestimate what a real enemy distraction in our life is. He said, I think we really minimize that and how many of our goals that keeps us from reaching. Can everybody hear me in the back? I'm sorry, I can't be tethered to this leash. But anyway, hopefully you can all hear me. He said, I think we really underestimate what an enemy distraction would be. And in that moment, I thought, thank you, God, for sending that friend of my life to share that with me. Because a lot of people just go, oh, thumbs up, you know, life, whatever, you know, and move along with their lives. But I'm thankful for my friend who took the time to say, man, thank you for sending that to me and to kind of talk about it a little bit. That was a blessing. And it dawned on me how important it is who we choose to surround ourselves with.
Man.
Who we choose to call our friend, who we choose to let us call friend. A cool part of this story is that Jonah, at one point, he's on the boat asleep. All these other men are throwing their belongings off of the boat, right? Literally, they're throwing their treasures, anything heavy, they're casting off the boat. And the shipmaster comes down and says, wake up, sluggard, or sleeper, whatever he calls them. Wake up, man. What are you doing down here? Get up here and pray to your God. And Jonah, this isn't even in the Message version, but basically what Jonah says is, I can pray, it ain't going to do you no good. I know what the problem is. Y'all gonna have to throw me in the ocean. And it dawned on me that Jonah's friends on that ship are in the middle of a storm that has nothing to do with them, but it has to do with who they let on their boat with them. Who we choose to spend our time with couldn't be more important. I've got a friend at work, his name is Eugene. As you may have guessed by Eugene's name, he's not my age. Eugene is in his scanning the room. I'm not going to put a number out there. Eugene's older than I am. Eugene's a good friend of me, and Eugene and I were talking this week, and he said, have you ever tried to eat possum before? I said, no, sir. He said, well, I'm sure you've had squirrel. And I said, Eugene, I think we grew up in different worlds, buddy. No. He goes, well, rabbit. Surely you've had rabbit. I said, no. No, I have not had any rabbit in my life. He goes, well, I've got some traps out on my farm. He said, whatever I catch, if it's edible, I'm going to send you some and tell me how you like it. I said, Eugene, you send it to me, I'll eat it. I got a text from Eugene this afternoon. Yeah, I sure did. Yeah, I got a text. It was a picture message, which I'm thankful for, because, you know, if you're going to get a message telling you this is coming, you might as well get a real life picture of it. Sweetheart, I got dinner covered this Friday night. Would you need some time just to tell the audience what that is?
I'm not sure.
I'm not either. You got any guesses on what exactly that animal is?
It looks like an otter.
It's a cross between an otter and a beaver. Boy, I'm excited. I can't wait to keep my word to Mr. Eugene. Needless to say, we're throwing Eugene off the boat this week. We'll not be fellowshipping with Eugene moving forward. But yeah, that's a real-life beaver, based on the size of those teeth.
I'm sorry.
Yes, sweetheart.
That's
a beaver. We believe. We're not 100%. High 90s, though. I'll pass the phone around if you'd like to see after but yeah, no, apparently we're eating beaver at the house this weekend. I couldn't be more excited. But I am thankful for the people that God's put in my life. And what I want to talk about tonight is three things that I believe the devil uses to keep us from reaching our full potential in Jesus Christ. And you'll be happy to know we'll probably be out of here by 6:30 or 7 o'clock, I believe. But anyways, I'm kidding. Nobody in the room laughed. They're all like, oh, great. It's one of those nights. It's not. You're good. We'll be out of here shortly. But the truth is, when you think about Jonah, I love this story. And you could really just park here. I mean, it's only four chapters long, but you could really just park here. There's so much to take away. In fact, I didn't realize until I'll be honest, I've got a bad habit of using my phone as my Bible here lately. And I knew I'd preached recently, but I'm looking at the notes here when I actually pulled out the little hardback here. I preached on this, I think, maybe the last time I preached here. So anyway, I do read more than Jonah in my Bible, you'll be happy to know. Just not in the last year, apparently. Some things we'll talk about that we can learn from from Jonah. And the first thing I think that Satan will go out of his way to do to us is keep us divided. Anybody notice a little division in our country lately?
Yes.
And I'd like to say lately, but it's nothing new. The division of where the line is drawn might be new, but it's been ongoing my entire life. Most of you are significantly older than I am, so maybe you can speak for your lives as well. But as far as I can imagine, it's been 8 years. Now I'm talking to you, David. Stay away. It's been a years-long thing. You know, the Republicans versus the Democrats, right? It's the whites versus the blacks. It's the men versus the women. And now we can throw the transgender in there. It's the gay versus the straight. Whatever, wherever you want to draw the line,
right?
It's the big one right now that I'm seeing is the vaccinated versus those who I ain't never putting no mask on, right? And you know, the funny thing is, if you refuse to think there's any wisdom on the other side of the argument from where you are, you're living in willful ignorance. Because the truth is, both sides have great points, right? There are benefits to the vaccine. There are people who need the vaccine. There are benefits to masks. But we're so hung up on the fact that, oh, I'm right and you're wrong, that we can't even listen, right? I heard a great quote. It actually came from, I believe, Mike Baker, which means he found it somewhere else. He asked me one time, he said, are you listening or are you just waiting to talk? I said, well, if you hush, you find out. I wasn't listening, apparently. So, but he said to me, are you listening or are you just waiting to talk? Man, that hung with me. And we do that. We are so quick to do that. We can't listen to anybody. We just, if you quit talking, I prove my point to you. We're talking to people who will never listen to our point. Right? Whatever it is. We're talking to people who simply aren't going to hear us. But that seems to be the best. Let's get ourselves divided. Can you imagine a football team that hates each other doing well? Mm-hmm. Right? Sorry. Imagine if Carter gets to play baseball, he gets to pitch a good bit. Imagine him and the catcher don't get along. You think they're going to be a very good team? But somehow we have in our minds that we can come here in the church, be divided, hate somebody who walks in with a mask or without a mask.
Good, bro.
They're dumb. And think that somehow we're going to be a good Christian team. We're going to post stuff on Facebook. I'm so over Facebook. I'm going to set mine on fire if I can find out how. I've considered deleting it this week, and then I decided not to because, let's be honest, I like being in the scoop just as much as anybody else. But listen, the truth is, we think I'm going to post this stuff that talks about how dumb you are if you don't agree with me, and then next week I'm going to put a Bible verse on there. How well do you think that's going to work out for us?
Preach, brother.
Right? Same thing on any other social media platform. And you know what? Let's take social media out of it. You go to work and say, well, I saw this woman on the her car down the road with a mask. Well, she's stupid. Maybe she is. Maybe she's not. Right? Maybe she's not. And then the same person you're talking to, next week you're going to come in and say, hey, our church is having a fellowship this Friday. You should come over. Why? So y'all can call me stupid? I'm preaching. Y'all might as well enjoy it.
Good, brother.
I mean, it is what it is, right? But we're so hung up on, you need to listen to where I come from. You know, and it's amazing. It's not just this mask thing. It's just I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of both sides of it. And don't come up to me afterwards and tell me why your side is right, because I don't care. Even if we're on the same side, and I don't have one, so I really don't care. But I'm just telling you, it's so frustrating to see the division within the church. And I think that somehow we're going to be an effective body of Christ with such a division in us. And there's other places, so I don't mean to get hung up on that one. The second thing that I think Satan would love to see is us simply distracted. You know, the neat thing about the story of Jonah is that in verse 3 of chapter 1, he says, Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish. Isn't that fun to say out loud? Tarshish. I feel like I have a speech impediment. But he went down to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. By the way, it's amazing how running from Christ always seems to cost us something, doesn't it?
Right.
That's not tonight's sermon. We'll save that for next time I preach on Jonah. Maybe next month, same time. Seems to be a pattern here. It says he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I wonder, and don't church me for this, I'm just wondering out loud. You know, the neat thing about this book and all the books is that they weren't live tweeted, right? Like you and I do. I had this for supper tonight. You know, I don't know that he kept a journal, said, Dear Diary, today I read from God. I wonder if Jonah didn't do the same thing you and I do, and he wouldn't call it running from the Lord at the time. He would say, I know what God wants me to do. By the way, you know, I meant to talk about this at our last point, but, you know, I wonder why wouldn't Jonah just go to Nineveh in the first place? Doesn't he want everybody to know about the Lord? Of course you and I would say we do, but you know what the interesting thing is? The people in Nineveh, the capital of Nineveh, you know what the people were there? The Assyrians. You want to do some interesting work research, find out the relationship between the Assyrians and the Israelites. Modern day and then, right? It's not good. There ain't nothing good about it. So he was basically told, go to your enemies and tell them that if they don't repent, God's going to jack them up. Yeah. Now, that's not the King James Version, but it's the CJ Version, right? Or the NIV, right? The Nearly Inspired Version. But anyways, the truth is that they were enemies. There was long history of fighting between not only their countries, but his family and their family. There's really interesting research on here. But that being said, I wonder, right? That's what my attorney told me to say. I'd be legally covered if I said I wonder. I wonder if he wouldn't have said, you know what, I know that's, I think maybe that's what he wants me to do. Someone get out of here and get busy before I know that's what he wants me to do. And maybe he just distracted himself. I'm sure he had some great excuse to go to Tarshish. I'm sure there's some, every time I say it, where I feel like I'm either going to curse or, you know, spit on somebody. Anyway, I guarantee you, he had some great excuse, some logical reason of, oh, this is the reason we need to do that. You know, I don't know, maybe his aunt lived in Tarshish and he just hadn't visited in a while. You know, I don't know. But anyways, he was running from God, but I wonder if he wouldn't have found some other way to excuse it or to justify it or to distract himself from what God's assignment was for him. I have no doubt that God has allowed me to become a master of the art of distraction at sometimes, whether I wanted to or not. But if we look at verse 17 of chapter 1, so I told you, you know, up to this point, Jonah's been, he tells them there's, you know, I can pray, but there's no reason, just chuck me in the ocean. And they went through all the runaround of saying, hold on, let's cast straws, let's try this, let's try that. They threw their belongings off, and finally, ultimately, he's like, yeah, you can do all that you want to. Until you throw me in the ocean, you're going to stay in the storm. And so, I don't know if God's got like a reel tape in heaven, but I'd like to see that. You know, just those guys going, sorry, buddy. But anyway, he's thrown over the ocean, and verse 17 of chapter 1 says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. What a blessing that must have been. I've stayed in some nasty hotels. I've never had seaweed wrapped around my head. We seen a cockroach one time in a hotel, and we didn't. Because my sweet, wonderful bride said, we'll not be staying here tonight. I said, I am. She said, well, have a good evening. Call me in the morning, I'll let you know where I land. But that's not entirely inaccurate. But it's amazing how we can stay so distracted. And it's a problem because what God will call preparation, or what God might call provision in our life, you and I call a problem, right? I guarantee you, at that moment, Jonah said, this fish, right? You and I say whale just because it's what we've always said. The Bible says big fish. But I guarantee you, at the moment that he was thrown overboard, I don't know if he swam around for a little while or if it popped up instantly. I don't know. I wasn't there. If God lets me re-put you to tape, I'll let you know. But this gigantic fish shows up and swallows him. And he gets to hang out in that belly of that whale for 3 days. Anybody else in the room see Finding Nemo, by the way?
Yeah.
I don't know how God got that whale beside that ship at that exact time. But all I can picture is Dory going, hey, whale, go to that ship and swallow Jonah. And the whale going, okay. If you've seen Finding Nemo, you really appreciate that reference. If you don't, what are you doing with your life? Go watch Finding Nemo. It's awesome. You can watch Dory learn how to speak whale. It's amazing. It's wonderful. That's what you should do with your life. But it is remarkable to me that the whale, big fish, whatever it was more on top of its assignment than the man of God.
Good,
so if you ever step out of line a little bit, you think, oh man, I've messed up. There's no reason to. Just remember, the man of God, Jonah, stepped out in a stupid fish. But have you noticed that fish are kind of dumb? I've caught the same fish 3 times one time. That's a mouthful. Like that. Say one time, 3 times. Anyway, fish are not terribly bright. You know, I asked a bass master guy one time, like, hey, what's the secret fish? He's like, throw something shiny in the water and they'll eat it. And if they don't eat that one, find something else that's shiny and maybe they'll eat that one. I'm like, well, that's something you can hang a career on right there. Thank you for those pearls of wisdom. But fish are not terribly bright, but it's amazing to me that he gets distracted, right? He gets so distracted from God's call in his life that he doesn't even realize when he's belly aching, pun intended, for 3 days in the belly of that whale, he doesn't even realize he's being rescued.
Amen.
He's being saved. What he's calling a problem, God calls a solution. God says, I provided that. And it's I don't know, maybe you're just better than I am. But boy, a lot of times in my life, do I call the things that God calls good or that God calls provision? I think they're big time problems. You know, I get home and I look at my house and I go, place has got to be painted, which Charlie is slowly doing for us, one crayon at a time. Eventually the walls will all be the same multicolor. It'll be beautiful, I'm sure. We'll have her sign it or something. Maybe she'll be a great artiste one day. But for now, she scribbles on the walls, and I'm not always appreciative. But it's easy to look around your house and get frustrated. But you know what God says? You ain't homeless, buddy.
Amen.
Matter of fact, you've got a little beautiful artist running around here blessing your life. And the things that we fuss about and get frustrated about, you know, it turns out that may very well be God providing for us. But here we are just frustrated. We're distracted. And you know what I've discovered about Christians? If we're busy complaining, if we're busy whining, if we're busy talking about other people, then you know what we're not busy doing? Sharing the gospel. Being a positive witness.
Right.
Certainly not encouraging anybody. But we get so distracted, we get so caught up on all this other stuff that feels so important at the time that we just get distracted away from what God's doing for us and in us. And it's inevitable that the things that God is calling provision, you and I are calling problems. The third thing that I believe that Satan uses is discouragement. Look at Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. We're not going to read them. But even in prayer, Jonah is complaining. Got seaweed wrapped around my head. I ain't gonna lie, I'd be complaining on that too. I've never had seaweed wrapped around my head, but I would imagine it's a terrible experience. And one I'm thankful not to have yet experienced. I like it around my sushi just fine. Around my head, I don't want to be the sushi. I'm not trying to get eaten by a whale. That's not my goal. But no, for perfectly reasonable reasons here, Jonah is very upset, verses 1 through 8. And I'm not going to lie, I'd be upset too. But then verse 9, something changes. Verse 9 says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And then one verse later, chapter 2, verse 10, says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. How's that for a happy ending? Right, but the truth is, when Jonah transitioned his mind from complaining and bellyaching and going, oh, it stinks in here, and I'm sure it is. I'm sure. I mean, fish doesn't smell good anyway. You get inside the fish, I'm sure it's plumb awful. But the truth is, when he changed his mindset about his situation changed instantly.
Man.
Right? We could look at Paul and Silas in the jail when they started singing at midnight, right? Same thing. Positive things happen. And there's 100 other examples we could go to in the Bible. And I can tell you in my own life that when I get my mind and my focus off of me, you know what happens? I start seeing positive things. When someone says, how's work going? There are things I could bellyache about all day long. But you know what I try to do? I try to find some positive things and say, you know what? This is going well.
Amen.
This is going well. This is getting better, right? A friend of mine called me this week and said, dude, my marriage is falling apart. My wife is a shrew. And no, he's not in the room. I wouldn't be so dumb as to tell you if he was. But you know what I said to him? Tell me three good things about your wife. Tell me three good things about your wife. And you know what? The conversation started to turn around. Same thing. Be that person for somebody, by the way. When someone calls you and says, my church is falling apart. Hopefully they're a member of another church. When someone says, you know, my work is falling apart, my marriage is falling apart, my friends falling apart, find me three good things. Tell me three good things, and let's focus on those.
Amen.
What can you do to make your relationship better? I don't like to think about those things in my life. I tell Amanda, what can you do to make our marriage better? And so far her answer is leave, and that hurts, you know? That's deeply hurtful to my ego. But the truth is, when he got his eyes off of discouragement, his situation changed. When he got grateful, he got out. You know, I don't know about you, but I love church services, but you're not very often going to find me jumping up and down and raising my hands and shouting at service. And you know what? That's wrong. Because, you know, for years I thought, well, that's just not my personality type. You know, I'm not real excitable. Can I tell the baseball story? No. Okay. She said I can. I was asked to leave a baseball game this year after a conversation between myself and the umpire. That's all you need to know? That's all you need to know? Don't get excited. It wasn't that crazy. My favorite part of that story is after the game was over, someone came up to Amanda and said, hey, someone said CJ got thrown out of the game. That's obviously they're mistaken. Who was it? Amanda's like, I gotta go home. I'm late to a hair appointment. I'm excitable. It's just, you know what? Sometimes I'm so distracted. I walk into church, I'm already discouraged. I'm already distracted. We're already divided. You know, I'm like, oh, David's singing again? David's playing the piano again? Well, it's his job. But that aside, you know, Justin's preaching again? Uh-oh, Brother Allen's going to sing another song? When I walk in here divided, distracted, and discouraged, you think God's going to speak to me through all that?
Yes, sir.
He certainly can, but boy, am I putting him up against a challenge, right? And so imagine if we walked in here and stopped at the door and said, you know what, God, I know you've got something for me today. I know you've got something that's going to encourage my heart, so I'm just going to pause right now and say, God, would you take care of the sin of my life? Or would you get the discouragement out of my life? Call it by name. Call it by name. Do you know that you just can't stand your boss, Randy? I'm sorry. That's the only name that came to my mind. Call it by name. God, I'm going to say, we'll worry about Randy tomorrow, but God, today is between me and you.
Man.
God, today I'm going to focus on you. I know you have something for me, and I'm not going to miss it today. I'm not going to waste this service. I'm not going to waste this morning. I'm not going to waste this evening. God, I'm going to focus on what you have for me. And you know how unfair it is to your church leadership, whether it's the pastor, whether it's the music director. We don't care about the musicians. Well, at least not one of them. But do you know what? Imagine sitting up there on the platform and singing to someone who looks like this. Boy, that's a blessing. That'll great bless brother. You right there. I'm preaching good whether y'all like it or not. Right? I don't like it, so I'm just going to give it to you. Or give it to me. I'm rubber, you're glue. That's off me, stick to y'all. But listen, here's the truth. You and I have a responsibility when we come to the church house. Or when you, even if you just turn the TV on and find a preacher to listen to, be careful who it is. But even if it's, you know, you're flipping through the radio station, you find a sermon, would you say, God, would you silence the discouragement? Would you silence the disappointment? Would you help me for a second not to be divided? Help me not to be distracted, God, but would you just speak to my heart and see what a different version of church you get? See what a different version of that sermon you get when we eliminate and we say, God, just silence those things. We're not going to make all of our problems go away, but God, would you just quiet my heart for a few minutes so that you can bless me?
Amen.
And then, so that I can in turn be a blessing to him, right? That's ultimately our goal. And I don't know about you, but I found myself finding it's a whole lot easier just to go ahead and follow God than it is to fight with him. It's a whole lot easier just to go ahead and surrender. I've discovered the same thing in my marriage for other reasons, but that's not tonight's lesson. And I've already made Amanda scowl at me twice, so we're not going to get for a third. But no, the truth is, if we just follow God to start with versus wrestling with them and arguing with them and giving them all these excuses, you know what was neat to me? I didn't know this until I actually was doing some research for this study, but from where Jonah was, Nineveh was 500 miles away. 500 miles. Now that's a long ways when you're talking about ships and camels, you know. There was no Lexus back then, right? There was no Uber. Can you give me a ride down to Tarshish or Nineveh? So it's 500 miles to Nineveh. You know how many miles it was to Tarshish? 2,500 miles. 2,500 miles. That's a lot of camel riding. That's a lot of camel riding. He was committed. He was saying, you know what, I don't want any part of this. I'm going to so distract myself from what God has for me that by the time he catches up with me, I'm too far away to do anything about it anyway. I'm just going to I'm going to trash my life. I'm going to step so far out of God's will that he just, there's just, I'm too far away to do anything with anymore. And you know what I love? You know what I love? I've tried to do that in my own life. And just the same as God sent that whale for him, for Jonah,
man.
God sent whales my way. And boy, did I look at him and say, thank you, Lord. I'm so excited for Calvary Children's Home. I sure didn't at the time. Did I look at him and say, God, I'm so excited for these consequences for my decisions? Woohoo! No, I sure didn't. You know, choices have consequences. That phrase still gives me a twitch. Thank you, Senator Turner, for watching. But listen, the truth is, God sent provision my way. God has sent protection my way. And am I the only one in the room who God has ever gone out of his way to protect me from a sin, a problem that I created, with him telling me not to the whole time? And God still wasn't done with me. God still has great plans for me, and I'm so thankful for that. In Bible college, I decided one night, they had all these obnoxious rules, like if you wanted to go on a date with one girl, you had to take two, right? I don't know what that solved, but and you had to pay for both their dinners. You think CJ was doing that? No, not a chance. If you wanted to go on a date with a girl, even on campus, 6 inches between you at all times. It's hard to kiss 6 inches apart. I didn't kiss anyone before I met you, by the way, just to clarify. Especially not at Bible college, apparently. But this, boy, I'm deep. Melita, y'all might want to clean a room out of the home. But listen, the truth is, I've tried to trash my life there. I tried to run away from God, and one night I decided I was done. I threw my book bag on with a couple clean pair of underwear and a clean pair of breeches, and I threw my leg over my motorcycle. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm done. I had all the Jesus and all the Bible college I want, and I set out to leave, and I'll spare you the whole story, but God killed my motorcycle. I didn't get off of campus. That thing had run fine for all those years up to that point. And that night God said, not in my house. The young people get that. You old people Google it, and you'll appreciate it in a day or two. But listen, the truth is, God said, I'm going to protect you from something you're creating, dude.
Amen.
I'm going to protect you from your own self. In your worst moment, I'm still going to love you. I'm going to love you enough to protect you. My friend Rand came over last night, and we played some music and did some stuff. And Rand's not a dog person, but he was kind enough to tolerate our dog, which is, I think, about 100 pounds. He's quite the dog. But we were talking about animals and stuff. He said, you know the great thing about dogs? He says that they teach you real unconditional love. He said, because no matter what that dog does in this house, you're going to discipline them, but you're going to spank them and then, you know, hug them and move on with your life, with your dog. And I said, I don't know. I looked at Amanda and I said, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, yeah, we're going to take care of that dog, whatever. But he chewed up my favorite hat this week. My favorite hat. I loved it. I was so excited. I got it last week. I was so excited. My stupid dog chewed it up. You know what I did? Threw the hat away, loved on the dog, and moved on with my life because I like the dog more than the hat. But the truth is, it was a great example because we're talking about how it teaches our kid. Raina and I were talking about how it shows our kids unconditional love. If the dog poops on the carpet, we clean it up, we move along. And I'm thankful that God has that same unconditional love for me, because I poop on his carpet a lot. I mean, hypothetically, not literally. Don't be afraid to leave me in the church. But the truth is, I mess up a lot. I mess up a lot, and I'm thankful for a God who says, no matter what you do, I'm still here. And there's consequences. I'm still here. I still love you. I'm still going to feed you. I'm still going to shelter you. I'm still got a plan for you. And you still have purpose with me. You still have a purpose here no matter what you do. And I'm so thankful that despite the discouragement, God loves me. So anyway, we're ADD tonight, so I hope you'll forgive me for that. But the three things I want you to walk away with tonight are that the devil wants to see you divided. Even within our own households, he wants to see us divided. Right? Wherever the lines are, he wants to see us divided. He wants to see us distracted. Because if we're too busy being distracted, then we'll never be useful. We'll never reach our full potential in Jesus Christ or in anything else in that matter. right? If you're playing 15 sports, you're not going to become the world's best baseball player because you're playing 15 sports. Are there 15 sports? I don't know. That's another story for another day. See, ADD, it happens. But the truth is, he wants to see us divided. He wants to see us distracted. And he wants to see us discouraged. And if we can overcome those three things, I believe, let me rephrase that, I know Jesus Christ still has great plans for Calvary. Jesus Christ still has great plans for you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ still has great plans for your family. And I'm so thankful for Uncle Brian's story this morning about Miss Barbara. Right? God's still using Miss Barbara by herself, basically in a nursing home. God's still over there using her. And I'm so thankful for a God that has a plan for me and for a God that has a plan for you. Lord God, we do love you. I thank you tonight for the opportunity to stop for a minute and speak for you. Lord, I ask that you would stop the distractions in our life. Lord, would you feel the discouragement in our life? God, would you give us the tools we need to overcome these things, God. I'm so thankful for the plans, Lord, and for the love you have for us. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.